glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in these last days before your crucifixion, you spent so much time with your disciples declaring the truth and revealing your glory. Lord, help us as your people to understand that you reveal your glory in so many ways in the midst of your people, through your word and through the sacraments, through your presence among us, through signs and wonders, through healing and amazing things that you do in the midst of your people. Lord, we know that you are about revealing your truth to us. Yet we, O Lord, know that it comes down to us trusting in you and believing in you and not being like the Pharisees who were scared of the consequences for their belief. They were scared of the consequences for not being politically correct. They were scared of the consequences for not going along with the crowd. Lord, help us as your people not to fear the truth, but to celebrate your revelation of truth among us. To celebrate that we are your children, we are your people, we are your sheep, you are our shepherd. Lord, help us as your people to celebrate what has been revealed to us so we can not only be renewed, but we can be revived, that we can go forth in your power and your authority, knowing that we are your kingdom people because you have revealed your truth to us. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Not long ago, Laura and I, and a few others from the church, went to a movie called The Greatest Showman. Any of you ever seen that movie? It was a movie about Barna and how he developed his show. And he always felt like he was a showman. He always felt like he had this ability to see what people would enjoy and what people would be attracted to. And he started out with this museum, and then the museum burned down, and he started to go on the road, and he did amazing things, and later would become, you know, the circus and the whole experience, right? And what was amazing about that show was it's kind of like Jesus in from about chapter 8 of John's Gospel to what we see today. Jesus is becoming, for lack of a better term, the greatest showman. Because throughout from the time he starts talking about the seven I ams, that he says, you know, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am this, I am that, you know, I'm the light, I'm the salt, you know. From that time, he starts to reveal himself, and he does miracles and signs, and the greatest miracle happens just prior to him coming into Jerusalem. What's the greatest miracle that we see in Scripture that Jesus does? Any ideas? Raises Lazarus from the dead, right? Isn't that the most amazing thing? He's told about Lazarus dying. He's told that he should hurry. And he gets there, and Lazarus has been in the tomb how many days? 4 days. And he calls him out, and Lazarus comes out. And it's within this context that we see the people gathering as Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. They are looking for the greatest showman. They're looking for this person who's going to show them and reveal to them the truth of God's power, the truth of his signs and wonders. They want this to be revealed to them. And I have to confess to you, I came to a greater understanding of the Lord through signs and wonders. John Wimber, I don't know, many of you might have heard of him. He was the founder of the Vineyard Churches. He was a professor at Fuller Seminary. And he was the person who started the movement that I became a more committed Christian through. And it was because he said that what happened in the book of Acts, what happened with Jesus, should happen today. And I saw signs and wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I was fascinated. When I looked at the people who were revealing these things, I looked at them like people did at Barnum. I saw an amazing thing, and I was attracted to it. And so I have sympathy for the people who were attracted to Jesus as he rode in on that donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Because don't we like to be attracted to things? Don't we like to have things revealed and want to see God, want to experience more of God? Don't we, as human beings, want to be known and want to know, right? Isn't that part of who we are? Isn't that the way God has created us? And what was so impressive to me when God would show up and do signs and wonders, and that's what that drew me closer to him, was that when he did that, I realized that he knew me. One of the pastors I was talking to earlier this week said something that I thought was really profound. He said, the thing that people desperately want in their life because of the way God has created them is they want to be known. But when they're going through hard times, the worst thing that they want in their life is to be known. See the problem? It's an innate desire we have in our lives to be known. We want to be known. That's what makes us kind of like, that's what draws us. That's what attracts us is we want to be made, we want to be known. And yet we're going through struggles and we're trying to hide those things that are causing us to struggle. How many of us don't want to be known? I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's a dichotomy. It's hard to understand how to deal with it. But I want to talk about this greatest showman because Jesus doing these miracles was really getting a following. And we heard that when we read the gospel lesson out there, that people were coming and looking for him, not because he was the Messiah, but because they were, it says, when the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, to see whether Lazarus was really alive, to see if this was really true. They didn't have, CNN. They only heard these things. They wanted to see it with their own eyes. They wanted to know that this was true. And it's interesting because it says there in verse 10, so the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. Hide the evidence. Not much has changed in a lot of time, right? What were they trying to do? Hide the evidence. Get rid of the evidence. And then he goes on, and I jumped a few verses here. It's verse 17. The crowd that had been there with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they heard he had done this sign, right? Again, they're attracted to the miracle. The Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. And Jesus answered them, the hour has come, and again, I jumped some, so just so you know, that's verse 19. And then we have the Greeks coming. You heard that read in the gospel lesson. The Greeks come, and they said, we would see Jesus. They're asking the Greek disciples that have Greek names, could you get us to Jesus? They want to see Jesus. They want to know more. They want to experience more. And he goes on. He doesn't answer them. He goes on, and he says, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loses his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. You see, what Jesus was doing with signs and wonders was to allow people to know who he was, so that they would be able to know who the Father is. Part of the problem with signs and wonders is a lot of times we get enamored with the signs and wonders, right? That was one of the things I loved about John Wimber is he wrote a book called Power Evangelism. And in the book, he warned us that if we were doing things in the name of Jesus, that signs and wonders would follow. He warned us that people can be attracted so much to signs and wonders that they can lose Jesus in the process. That makes sense? They can get all excited about the miracles, but lose the truth of why the miracles happen. And that's what I wanted to talk about today is when we are trying to, again, live this 40 days of renewal, trying to ask the Lord to take us back to the original, which is where we want to be, is in his will. But we want more than the original. I was talking about rebuilding cars. But the most fascinating cars to me are not the cars that are taken right back to the original, but I like these cars like these ones in the Bond movies where they look like these fantastic original cars, but they have all these extra gadgets in them. And have you seen those? Like, they look like the original. They look, but they're better than the original. See, what I think about renewal is, I think renewal is going back to the original. And I think what the Lord wants of his people is he wants revival, which is we're better than the original. I think he wants to make us better than the original. So when I talk about this whole idea of renewal to revival, I am saying the Lord wants to reveal to us how he operates, and he operates with miracles only to draw people to himself. And when he's doing this, he's been doing these great things in order to get them to a point where they would see why he is doing these things. And this is what happens, and this is where I really want to dig in here. Let's take a moment here. I know I don't have much time, but let's take a moment to see what he says here. He says, "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." This is the pivotal point. This is the pivotal point in his ministry. This is what he has been doing facing Jerusalem from the time of the Mount of Transfiguration, when they talked about his exodus, his going into Jerusalem. This is what everything has been prepared for. He has been doing all of these signs, all of these teachings, all of these things to get to this hour. Because this is what he says. He's already understanding, as he's seeing these wonderful signs and wonders, as he's seeing Lazarus raised from the dead, as he's seeing people flock to these miracles, he says, "My heart is troubled," or "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Shall I say, "Father, keep showing your power, keep showing your miracles, keep showing all these things, because I'm going to continue to draw people to myself?" No, what does he say? He says, "But for this purpose, I came to this hour." What was the purpose of coming to this hour? So that he would draw people not only to himself, but to the Father. Because what does he say? "Father, glorify your name." You see, all the signs and wonders, all the miracles, all the things that God does, as he does, still does it. He still shows up and does amazing things. But it's to draw people to himself so that he can place his name on us. Isn't that what it says? "Father, glorify your name." And whose name do we want on us? When we are known, what is it that we want to be known as? Children of the living God. We want his name written on us. That's why in baptism we always ask people, "What are you to be named?" Or, "What is this child to be named?" We mark them with the cross of Christ, redeemed. And look at what happened. And this is always just gives me goosebumps. Because don't you wish you were there? Don't you think this would have impacted you more than impacted the people around him? Don't you think you'd be ready to hear this? What happens? "Then a voice came from heaven." And what did the voice say? "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it." I want to ask the question, what's the next time we hear God's voice? At the cross. Yeah. So the idea we get of glory in this greatest showman type world that we live in is what? The signs and wonders, right? It's the abundance. It's all these things that the world is attracted to. It's all the nice stuff. And yet, what does the Father say? "I will glorify it again." And when is the next time we hear it? At the cross. Where is he truly glorified? In bringing things back to the whole. Bringing us back to him. Redeeming the world through the sacrifice of the Lamb, bringing us back to him. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it thundered. Others say that an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine." Why? Because if they had listened. If they had listened, that's what it goes on to say, is Isaiah foretold this, they would not listen. How many of us, when we go to God's word, how many of us, when we hear prophetic utterance, how many of us, when God reveals stuff to us, don't want to listen because we don't like what it says? Any of us guilty of that? How many of us were bold to ask, Lord, show me your will. Show me your plans. Show me what you want from me. And when he tells us, how many of us say, no, 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 no. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for us as we go through these 40 days of renewal and as we're getting close to the end is that we not only are willing to be renewed, that's brought back to the original, but we are willing to be revived, which means we're better than the original. And we are sincerely praying that the Lord would indeed help us to not only hear, but listen, help us to understand, help us to be made known by him and others so we can make him known. I pray that God will glorify his name in us. I pray that we would be willing and open to what he wants to do, because will it always be what the world thinks is glorified? Will it always be what the world thinks is nice? Would always be what the world thinks is fun? No. St. Paul put it this way. He said that God glories in suffering. There's glory in suffering. How many of us think that way? But as we go into this Palm Sunday, as we go into this Passion Week, I want you to think about that, because that is why, I was telling the folks in adult Bible class today, in my first parish, there was a Baptist church there that didn't even have Good Friday services. They didn't want to be too negative. I mean, we're in a society where they don't want to hear about this. I mean, just tell me good things. Tell me fun things. Tell me great things. Tell me I'm wonderful, which I want you to know, you are loved. You are awesome because God has made you. You are amazing. But I believe the Lord not only wants us to be brought back to the original, but he wants to make us even more. I believe he wants us to know that he will glorify himself in us if we not only hear, but listen, if we understand that he has great things in store for us and that he wants us to experience all that he has for us and even more, because I believe that the Lord really does give us opportunities. I don't know if you can read that. I want to close with this slide. What does Jesus being revealed always bring? Well, this is something I hope you remember. Truth is truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. And when we get down to this time, this week of Holy Week, I hope that you will pray that the Lord will reveal his truth to us, because we don't make choices for him, but we make choices in our life each and every day as we walk in the area of sanctification, don't we? We choose to do the Lord's will, or we choose to do our own. I hope that in making choices this week, that you will live in the truth, not suppress the truth. When you hear what the Lord has to say to you, that you will listen to him, not go, blah, 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 but listen to him, because he wants to glorify himself in us. He wants to show the world his glory and his truth in us. He wants people who are willing to understand that it's not always going to be what we want, but when we are doing what he wants, it's amazing. He wants us to go back and be renewed to the original, but he wants to revive us and make us even better. He wants to do greater things than he's ever done through us by showing people his glory, his truth, that he died on the cross, shed his blood for you and for me, that he rose again to proclaim victory over sin, death, and the devil, and that he has a call on our life. He wants to glorify his name in us so that more people might know that they are loved, that he died for them, and that he has a place for them for eternity. Brothers and sisters, may this week be for us a chance for him to reveal what his will is for us, and that we would move forward in his power. Amen.